All right, cheers.
Cheers. Mm.
This is a special cheers for you.
Oh, it's so good.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking the deliciousness known as pumpkin porter.
In the beginning of August.
In the beginning of August. This is the earliest I've ever had this. I would like to thank you that since you do work at a place that dispenses alcohol, the second they came in, you sent me a text.
Yeah.
Let me know they were in. And then you brought some.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank you.
What a good... Well... I knew you were going to have to do your root beer punishment, so I wanted to reward you for going through it. Plus, man. I'm a great friend.
You are.
I tell myself that, so it's got to be true, right?
I mean, like, I did the bet. I bet the root beer, so I drank it, so I can't put that on you. But right. Bringing pumpkin porter so I can have that to wash that filth down is pretty nice of you. So, yeah, we're having pumpkin porter tonight. This is...
How many years have you been drinking pumpkin porter?
A lot. I mean, I have to think I started... I mean, I had to drink it since they've had it out. Mm-hmm. Because we used to go to Four Peaks all the time.
Right.
The one that's down in Tempe next to the college.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to go there all the time because...
Yeah.
As a brewery, they have a lot of good beer and their food is really good.
Their food is not bad, and might I add, Four Peaks is a great, great company.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially being like an Arizona State fan.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the roots, you know, basically stemming, you know, from Arizona State. It's just, it's so good. And I probably have been drinking this since it came out. So however long they've had it for, I've probably been drinking it.
However long that great, great company, Four Peaks,
yeah,
has had it.
I mean, for the longest time, I don't think Four Peaks had seasonals, or the only seasonal they had was like the Christmas one, you know, usually like the really dark, like kind of ginger porter, you know, whatever. I can't remember what it's called, but they have one that they have like a Christmas themed, special or a seasonal.
I don't have a complaint about any of the Four Peaks. I mean, the Wow Wheat I think is really good.
The Wow is really good.
I can definitely say that Kill Lifter, there's never a bad time for one.
Oh, yeah. Kill Lifter is solid. You know, and, you know, pumpkin porter. And this is really the only pumpkin-flavored thing that I will drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like pumpkin spice lattes or any of that. Like, I don't like any of that. Or there are a few other pumpkin beers that are okay, but nothing as good as this.
Don't want to get white girl wasted on pumpkin spice?
No. I don't.
There are a lot of options now for pumpkin beers. There are way too many of them now.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, like, double pumpkin stuff.
Yeah, and, there's even Atomic Pumpkin where it's, like, a... Not just a spice, like a pumpkin spice. It's, like, spicy.
I don't want spicy beer.
No. That's terrible.
That's the last thing that I
want. What do you think of people that put Tabasco in their beer? That's a big thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, it's insanely popular.
Well, mental illness is a thing that is rampant in the U.S. right now, and you know it is what it is.
You know what? That's a good point. You got to respect there's mental illness anywhere, especially in the White House.
I mean, I don't know if that's mental illness, just mental deficiency. I mean, I don't know. I get why people like pumpkin because I do like pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie is a must. The wife
pumpkin
makes
pie is great.
The wife makes a vanilla bourbon pumpkin pie.
Oh, my God.
Where the crust is like vanilla bourbon.
Uh-huh.
And the filling is just regular pumpkin pie with a little bourbon in it and some other stuff. So it's not that orange color, you know, like that fluorescent,
right.
Like you're going to get cancer in 7 days. You know, like, it's a much darker color. It doesn't look like a pumpkin pie at all. You wouldn't know it was until you took a bite of it.
Why haven't I not had this?
Well, you probably haven't been over... soon enough after Thanksgiving, because you better believe I put that in my mouth at record speeds when it's at the house. Like, it does, because she doesn't like pumpkin pie at all. She just makes it for the people who like it.
Okay.
Yeah, so when it's at, like, whatever is left over from whatever family gathering we go to, like, that is just on me. And listen, I will admit, I will eat 3 pieces a day. Like, it does not last around. I'll have some for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. As long as it's there. Usually, if it doesn't make it to Sunday, so if you haven't been over to our place, either on Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving, you're not getting it.
Okay, that needs to be my Black Friday rush then.
Yeah, that would be, or she would probably just make two, because it's interesting. She'll go and buy actual vanilla beans, like the expensive vanilla beans,
mm-hmm.
and she opens them up, scrapes them out, puts them in the mix with the dough, because she hand makes the crust too.
Okay.
It's not any of that shitty like pre-made stuff that's at the supermarket. So she'll bust out the vanilla beans, scrape them out, put them in there with the mix, a little bourbon in there. It is so good. So if you want one, you should probably just put an order in, and she'll make one for you.
Oh, I will absolutely order that.
Because the rule we have is we don't just make one pie crust. If she's going to break out the whole food processor to make a pie crust, she'll make two or three. So if you want one, just put an order in, because it said when the food processor gets out, she'll make as many pie crusts as needed. Because that really is like the time-consuming process, is the pie crust.
Yeah.
The filling is actually really easy. It doesn't take her very long to make the filling. And at that point, it's just baking the pies, just time in the oven.
I have an American pie the fuck out of this.
Well, dude, it's tasty. It's so good. When you see it, you won't think, like I said, you will not think it's a pumpkin pie, because it's much darker than you would anticipate. Hmm. But it's also way better than any of those fluorescent orange pumpkin pies you've ever had.
Right.
So.
Oh, I would try that with, maybe a pumpkin porter would be a good combo for it.
It is. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have done that before. Like,
I believe it.
I've had, if I remember one year, I think we had a big lunch, and so I wasn't really hungry for dinner, and so I just had a pumpkin porter and a piece of pumpkin pie for my dinner. That was it. And it was glorious, and I may do it again. now that pumpkin porter is out in August.
Literally August 2nd, at about 6 o'clock in the morning, it came rolling through. And I'm like, man, I was like, on 115 degree weather, I'm not thinking anything pumpkin or, fall, winter, seasonal type things. But as soon as it came in, I snapped that picture and sent it to you. I'm like, so it begins.
And I am so happy.
Yeah. And it's going good with the, what's the cigar we have tonight?
So we're having a Brick House tonight. I will be honest, I don't know a whole lot about the Brick House.
Just a song.
Exactly. I got these two, and I had two more that I had smoked before. I got them from the cigar convention that was in Vegas. So they've been in my humidor for a long time. And they just happened to be towards the top, and that's why I picked them. I know I've had them before, and they're a solid smoke. It's not something that you'd go to a cigar bar and hunt for.
Mm-hmm.
There are better cigars, like any of the Fuentes, Perdomos, any of your Kentucky Fires, any things that we have smoked on the podcast before, I would prefer to have at a cigar bar. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my favorite stuff. But it is a good smoke. It's a Connecticut, so it's a little lighter, which I've always said that if you're going to have a drink that goes with your cigar, try to oppose what you have. If you're going to have a dark cigar, go with something a little lighter. If you're going to have maybe a vodka mixed drink or something like that, something that's a little lighter. And the same thing around, if you're going to have a darker beer, go with a lighter cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you don't want to have two really overpowering flavors. Cause then it's going to fuck with your palate. So,
well, it's not bad. It's light. It's got a good texture to it. Like, it's got a lot of smoke to it. So I'm a fan of this one.
Yeah, it's good. This shows you what happens when you can properly take care of a humidor. Because, this has probably been in the humidor for, my son is coming up on 6 years old. So it's been in the humidor for at least 8 years.
Wow. So. And the fact that, you leave, if you leave one out or in a humidor that's not taken care of, that thing's gone in a month or two.
Oh, yeah. They become rock hard.
Yeah. So The fact that this is still light, everything's good, the cut was clean.
Yep.
That just shows you take care of your humidor, and you can have cigars in there as long as you want.
Right. And if a humidor, say, gets out of control, like you maybe just forgot about it for a couple months, and whatever happened, right? You can rescue cigars.
Mm-hmm.
You just, it's a little more work, because then you have to kind of over-humidify it for a little bit.
Right.
And then kind of back off it. And then you can get to a more, more reliable humidity. Because the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to over-humidify humidifier, because there are insects that can grow on your cigars, and you can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, if you have some sticks that are a little dry, you can bring them back to life. It takes a little bit, like, it's going to take a couple months.
Yeah.
But you can do that, but I think it's just a little easier just to take care of a humidifier.
Yeah, just take care of it. You don't have to, reinvent the wheel to save one.
But yeah, so these are good. I'm a fan, like I said. If you happen to see them at a cigar bar, you're not going to hate yourself, because they won't be super expensive. Like, these will probably, well, put it this way, they should only run you like $6 or $7.
So that's not bad at all. Like, once you get, I mean, the top tier cigars that I can have are, $10 to $15. So right. Run one in $6, $7, and like, this is definitely a good price for that.
Yeah. If it's more than that, don't get it. There's other cigars that are better at that price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad. Goes well with the pumpkin porter. It definitely, all this is helping get rid of the root beer flavor out of my mouth that I had earlier today.
That was beautiful. That's a video I am so looking forward to everyone watching. It's kind of like the mask you see with acting, where they have like the happy mask and the sad mask.
Yeah.
Or face type deal, where it's like, I was just happy the whole time while you were just irritated, mad.
It tastes so bad. And this, it's one of those things, like, everything just kind of collapses into this, like, a singularity of shittiness.
And just think that sells out constantly.
That's amazing. I can't believe people drink that on purpose. It tasted like goat shit the entire time. It's so disgusting. I really want to get it out of my head. I'm so happy that I have pumpkin porter to wash that out with. So, pumpkin porter, Brick House, it's helping alleviate the pain that I had of drinking that shit.
So, speaking of goat shit, I was watching a movie the other day, and it got me thinking, like, where you watch a movie and there's a part in it that is just like, it just bothers you. Or they do something in a movie where it's like, because you've got some movies that are just terrible. But then there are some where you're interested in, and then there hits a part where you're like, nope, over it. And I thought of one the other day that apparently still bothers me, because I have a lot of mental issues. And that's the old horror movie Jeepers Creepers. Have you ever seen that one?
I have. Justin Long's in it, right?
I believe so. It's been so long.
It's one of his earliest movies. Yeah.
Because this is... Jeepers Creepers feels like 01, 02-ish.
I would say it's early 2000s or even late 90s. One of the two.
Yeah, it could be. Here's the thing. In that movie where I was told by so many people, oh my God, it's such a good horror movie. It's so good. And so I'm watching it, and it's when the people are driving, and then all of a sudden the van or whatever it was runs up on them. And they see the license plate, and it says, beating you. Oh, we got to outrun them. But then, obviously, once you meet the creature and go, start to understand the movie, you're like, oh, it wasn't beating you, it was be-eating you. And I go, wait a second. I'm like, you're telling me this creature that apparently, like, can hibernate for 27 years or whatever the fuck it was. I haven't seen it in a while because it makes me mad to watch it. I'm like, you're telling me this thing was actually able to not only be able to drive, not only have its own vehicle, but got a personalized license plate. Like, get it? Be eating you? Because I eat people? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that... I feel like horror movies, that's such a hit or miss for like, telling other people to watch them. Because I feel like of all the movie genres... horror movies is really like a huge personal taste thing, because there are some people who love all the gore fest movies,
right?
And like, I'm not a big fan of those. I feel like they use the gore and the really gross visuals to kind of compensate for like a badly written movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so a lot of people love those. I'm just not a big fan of them.
It's just one of those. If I'm watching a movie, I get that some are low budget or some they're just all in it for the gore, but it's like, it at least needs to make a little bit of sense. And when you get one where it's like, we have this creature, but yeah, this creature got himself a personalized license plate.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't care what you do for the rest of this. I'm out. Now, another one, because I don't even, like, it's been so long since I've seen Jeepers Creepers. And people are like, what about the second one? And I'm like, no, I didn't bother. Did he have a personalized banner come across on a plane or something? But another one that I thought of, because, like, I'm a big Al Pacino person.
Okay.
Love Al Pacino. And I remember he came out with one, I think in the late 2000s, called 88 Minutes. And it was, like, he was a professor. Someone gets murdered, and he's got to find out, you know, who the killer is, who committed these. And it's one of those where you look at the cast, there's only one other name that's... Everyone else is an absolute no-name. Like, it's the whole movie is Al Pacino.
Okay.
The only other person of any relevance is Lily Sobieski, who she was famous for a little bit. I think most people know her from Never Been Kissed, where she was Drew Barrymore's friend.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In the Denominators Club.
Yeah, okay. I remember now.
And she was in Glass House. She was in a few other movies. That was the only, like, name. Like, even on the thing where 88 Minutes, Al Pacino, Lily Sobieski. And the whole time, like, Lily Sobieski's a student in his class. And, you know, they're going through, who could the murderer be kind of thing. And then, and spoiler, because I don't give it, nobody should watch this. Spoiler, it's Lily Sobieski.
Right.
And when the, you know, big moment arrives where you find out it's her, it's like, well, of course it's her.
She's the only other name on the...
Yeah, it just bothered me to know it, because I'm sitting there at the beginning. I even said to the girl I was with, I said, if it's anyone but her, I'll be happy. Because they wouldn't be that stupid to just make it that bland of a surprise. And then when it turns out it's her, it's like, of course.
Do you remember when there was that big run on movies with twist endings and surprises right after The Sixth Sense came out?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 6 or 7 years. Everyone was trying to make these movies with these huge surprise twists that very rarely ever made any sense.
Right.
I mean, even, who was the director of that movie? M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Even he struggled with it later on.
Listen, he got, like, I'm not proud, but I'm one of those, I sit back and enjoy the movie. I don't like to be the guy sitting there trying to guess it the whole time. I just enjoy the movie, and then when the surprise comes, maybe I'll be surprised or whatnot. Sixth Sense, at the beginning, when the dude shoots Bruce Willis, and then they just go to the next scene, and they don't even mention it. I'm like, why are they not bringing up anything? I'm like, did he fucking die from that? And I'm like, and as he's going through, you see he's not talking to anyone but the kid. And I'm like, shit, he did die. He's a ghost. Or, you know, kind of thing. And then when the reveal happens at the end, I'm like, ugh. Like, I kind of wish I wouldn't have paid attention to that. And then I could, you know, because some, you know, a lot of people were shocked by that. But all the other movies he made, yeah, the twist ending is bad. Now, I think some people argue about Unbreakable. I know some people really dug that movie.
I'm so 50-50 on that movie. Because, like, there are parts of it I really like, mm-hmm. and there's other parts I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it, but I know a lot of people are. Plus, they've kind of continued on that story with a few other movies, which I forget the names of them.
Right, they had, is it James McAvoy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the...
Like Splice or something?
Split. It was a split personality one.
Yeah.
Where he had like the, whatever, 47 personalities.
Right.
Right.
And somehow it turns out it's tied into that storyline.
Exactly. I did not see any of those movies. Yeah.
Like, I didn't see Lady in the Water. You know, those are just, I would go and read the synopsis. But I remember I was working with someone, and after work we were going to go see The Village when it was coming out.
Ah, The Village.
And we were listening to the radio in the morning, and the DJs on the movie, or on the radio, spoiled the movie because they're like, we saw it last night. It was so terrible. Here's what happens. And yeah, they spoil it, and I'm like, I don't know about you, but I'm happy because I don't want to go see that piece of shit now. And that's when you kind of realize, like, Shyamalan had a great thing with Sixth Sense, but, I mean, there hasn't been a thing he's done since where I was any bit happy with. And let me tell you one, because that brings me to another movie that I did not like, and it lost me, and it's one of his movies.
Is it Signs?
It is Signs.
I was like, it's probably going to be Signs.
Because there's two parts I don't like. Now, I'll give you credit. The one scene that's really good is when they're showing the footage of, like, the kid's birthday party where the alien walks in the back.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of part, that, like, got me where I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that hooks you. But towards the end, you know, when it's revealed that, oh, the aliens, like, water hurts them. So it's like, okay, so these aliens decide to invade a planet where water, you know, is poisoning them or whatever. 71% of the Earth, of this planet, is water.
Right.
Like, are these, like, the hillbilly aliens?
You know, it's funny because I remember thinking that, like, right at the very end, you know, when, like, the aliens getting hit with all the water in the house, you know, swing away or whatever, right?
Ugh, that was the other part I
That whole hate. Part. And you think, like, okay, so let's break this down. So this species of alien has mastered interstellar travel.
Yes.
They can travel the stars. And then they knowingly try to invade a planet of which they are deathly allergic to basically three-quarters of what the planet is made of.
Yes.
That is stupid. And you know how stupid it is? Is that later on, a lot of people, like, were trying to retcon. Like, oh, well, they, you know, if you think about it, they actually weren't aliens. They were demons. And the reason that they were getting hurt by water is because water is like a holy thing or like a pure thing.
And I said, good God.
I said, no, it's badly written is what it was.
Let's just chalk it up to an L on this one.
Yeah.
Don't try to defend it. Because, yeah, the water thing lost me in that movie. Yeah. But, yeah, the other thing where I think, because I'm one of those in a theater, I don't talk. I want people to shut the fuck up. The people that take out their phones in theater are assholes.
Oh, should have a beer bottle chucked to their head.
Absolutely. I have thrown things at people that do that. And it's one of those, when somebody takes it out and it's bright, I get if maybe they've got a text and they got a babysitter. I can kind of get that. But the moment I see you like, oh, got to check Twitter or got to check my Snapchat or whatever, like that's when I start throwing popcorn at them or shit I find on the ground. Like I will chuck it at them because it's like, stop fucking ruining it for everybody. That is why I only go to theaters when it's, you know, it's something's been out for a while, so nobody's going to be there.
That's the best time.
Yeah. So, yeah, the other part where I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, was, yeah, when his wife, you know, was dying, and she's like, remember to tell him, swing away. And then later when it's revealed when he's supposed to swing away, I'm like, oh, come on.
It's the worst, like, callback.
Yeah.
It's so blatant, and it's so dumb.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, that, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, it's not the best movie I've ever seen, but it's not bad. It's one of those movies, like, you know, I've talked about previously how I like a movie the more I've seen it.
Right.
That movie, I've liked less and less. Like, I think I've seen it 3 or 4 times now, and every time I see it, because it's on TV,
mm-hmm.
every time I see it, I'm like, oh, well, this is even dumber than I thought it was before.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I agree with you. That movie, like, you kind of feel bad for him, for M. Night Shyamalan, just because, like, The Sixth Sense was such a big phenomenon, and he's trying to top that.
Yeah.
You know, and every time he tries to top it, tries to go bigger, better, it just kind of flat lines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's one of those where he'll have a big opening, and then the second week, it just flat lines, exactly. And you're like, yeah. Everyone saw it, and you're like, ugh, Jesus.
Didn't he direct After Earth, the Will Smith and Jaden Smith movie? I could have sworn I thought he directed
he
that, too.
He could have, and what a flop that was. For a second, I thought you were talking about Travolta, but that's Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. Oh,
what
man.
What a hunk of shit that
Dude.
Is. That's like a Not Your Father's Root Beer to you.
it's certainly on that level, that's for sure.
Let me tell you, the only thing Signs did good was, so the scene in that where his neighbor, who M. Night Shyamalan has to be in his own movie, which I can't give him too much shit, because if I directed a movie, I would throw myself in there somewhere.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, the truck, you know, pins the wife, and she's only got so long to live. The only good thing that came out of that movie from that was from that scene because it was used as a parody in one of the Scary Movies.
Oh, was it?
I think it was Scary Movie 3 or 4, because they had one of my favorite lines. So Charlie Sheen basically plays the Mel Gibson part.
Right.
And, you know, the sheriff tells him, like, yeah, this, you know, he crashed his truck up against a tree. Your wife's between it. Until we, like, she's alive, but as soon as we move that truck, she's dead. And so, you know, Charlie Sheen gets the news, and he starts walking. And as he's walking, he turns and sees his neighbor, you know, the guy that drove the truck into the tree and split mm-hmm. his wife in half. And he's sitting on the ground, he just looks up and goes, I need a ride.
I will say, I saw that in the theater. And so, I saw Signs in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give him credit, because in the movie, when he sees M. Night Shyamalan and he says, hey, I locked it in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And he goes in the house. That was an incredibly well done and, like, suspenseful scene.
Right.
Really well done. Like, I remember the whole theater was, like, hush silence as he's walking through the house. And, like, when the claws come out from underneath it, like, the whole theater just jumped.
So,
like, that was, like, the one really well done scene in that.
Can I add on to that? Do you remember who you saw it with?
No, I don't. Did I see it with you?
Yeah, you saw it with me.
Did I?
And here's the funny part, is when that scene happened, there was a woman in front of us that launched her popcorn in the air. Because we got covered in it. And I just remember thinking, that's a good jump scare right there. Because that, I've seen people, you know, freak, like, you know, flip out over it, but never where the popcorn went flying like that. Because I remember a couple went on my shirt, because I'm like, ooh, free popcorn.
That was really well done. That was, very rarely do you see movies where there are long stretches of it where there's almost no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's very, very little background ambient noise. And he used it really well in that scene, because it just, like, the whole idea that there could be something in the house, and, you know, you're kind of waiting.
Yeah.
And just, like, there, I mean, it was, it, from my memory, it was like 3 or 4 minutes of almost silence. And you don't see that a lot, because you can lose people because, you know, people are, you know, dumb.
Right.
For lack of a better
attention
term.
Spans have become goldfish.
Yeah.
So the fact,
I mean, and yeah, while this was a little older movie, it was still the same back then. Like, usually you don't find movies that do that. And he used it really well there. It was a really well, because, like, obviously if you had a whole movie full of that, you'd get bored really, really quickly.
Oh yeah.
So that was a really good use of, like, silence and tension building. It's a shame that that was in that movie.
Right. You could say that scene and when the alien walks by.
Right.
Was, yeah, like, very intense moments. Mm-hmm. And moments that you're just like, oh shit, like, now it's getting, you know, good. And I think there was one too where it was on the roof and you could kind of make it out.
Right.
Like, shit like that. But yeah, when, you know, then it's like, oh, don't touch water. Oh.
Yeah.
It's, or, oh, he had asthma because of this moment. There was a reason for that. It's like,
yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
It's like an almost good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite things is an almost good idea. It's like a drive-through liquor store. Like, it's an almost good idea.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, an almost good movie. Like, if you take, like, 3 or 4 different turns in there where maybe, what if they are actually demons and holy water or water does, like, you know, if that's an actual explanation, that does make the movie a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, because it just makes it better. But, like, it's almost good. Like, you could see where you're like, oh, a turn here, something different here, and it's actually a good horror movie. It didn't take those turns.
Yeah, fell through, and that...
It went to Tucson, so, you know.
Oh, yes, that is very... That's the best way to put it. Went to Tucson for Arby's.
Yeah. Hey, you see the news today? I don't know if I told you. A bunch of teams is bailing from the Pac-12.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Arizona State and U of A bailed to the Big 12. More pumpkin porter.
Just pure happiness from you.
Pure happiness, because this is definitely a 180 from drinking that god-awful shit beer that I had earlier. Yeah. Pac-12s have become a mid-major pretty soon. It's It's going to be interesting. It, never in my life has the Pac-10 or Pac-12 not really been relevant. I mean, at some point, there was always one team from the Pac-10 or 12 that was good. Like, for a lot of years, it was USC. Mm-hmm. Then there was Oregon when they had their big run. You know, and even then, like, Washington had a couple years. Obviously, Arizona State had the 1 year. They had other years they were good, but not that good.
Right, but not the, you know, I mean, special year that they had.
I mean, U of A was the preseason number one in, like, 90 or 91 or 90, somewhere right in the early 90s. It's going to be weird where either the Pac-12 is going to fold or it's going to become a mid-major where it's just full of, you know, directional schools, you know, like Northwestern Idaho and, you know, Louisiana North Tech.
It's amazing the transition that's happening with all the moves.
I really think that at some point you're probably going to see where it's going to, like, conglomerate into, like, almost like an AFC and an NFC. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you're going to have two really big power conferences that are going to have, like, 20 teams. And then the rest of the conferences are kind of are going to be essentially just, like, either small mid-majors or big mid-majors. Because, like, right now, obviously, the SEC has been and will probably be the best conference for a long time.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is acquiring some schools. The Big Ten is probably going to be the other super conference. And while Arizona State and U of A, you know, if you look at the Big 12 now, you know, they have some good teams, but they don't really have anyone who could really compete week in and week out with anyone in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Oklahoma State had a couple of years where they were really good. You know, Cincinnati's had recently has been pretty good.
Cincinnati but, Light.
Yeah, shut up. but there's not a team there where you'd be like, oh yeah, if you just put them in the SEC, they could still be a top two team. Like, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I would predict, this would be a hot take right here, that the SEC and the Big Ten, which the Big Ten is going to have to change its name, because I think they'll end up having 20 teams apiece. And then you'll probably see, like, the bowl system might get expanded to, like, 6 teams or 8 teams, where you're going to get 4 teams from the SEC and the Big Ten, and then, like, the Big 12, the ACC are each going to get, like, 1 team in there. You'll probably see that. I think that's going to have to happen, just because the Big Ten and the SEC are just stacking up schools now.
Yeah.
At some point, it's going to be unmanageable, where, you know, it's just the strength of schedule is just going to be so out of whack. Because, like, I mean, you look at the Big 12, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, I mean, Arizona State, U of A, Colorado moved over, Utah moved over. So there's still some good schools, but, like, those aren't schools that you were like, oh, yeah, they could compete with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. Like, it's just not comparable anymore.
That's where those spreads are minus 40.
Right, and then the worst part will be is that you're, like, a super talented kid from California. Or not California, because, like, USC and UCLA. Let's say you're a super talented kid from, like, North Dakota or Montana, Idaho, Oregon. Like, you're not going to want to, if you're super talented, you're not going to want to go to one of the quote-unquote mid-major schools anymore. If you're that good, you're going to go to one of the SEC or Big Ten schools now.
Yeah.
And so I think you're going to start to see a lot of the talent kind of get this kind of condensed in those two conferences, and I think you'll see an even bigger separation of abilities then. And it'll suck because, like, it was nice having, like, 10 conference or, you know, 10 team conferences or 12 team conferences, where while the SEC has always kind of been the best football conference, you still got really good football in the Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, you know, Pac-12 or Pac-10 at the time, whatever. And it's just, I think it's going to suck where you're going to kind of see everything get kind of conglomerated and just, like, you know, just two conferences. But The money is what the money is, you know.
Yep. Money controls everything.
Yeah. I would just like, I hope that, I have no idea what the guy's name who runs the Pac-12 is, but I hope he gets fired because he has fucked this thing up so badly. It's unbelievable because I was explaining to my wife, I was like, the Big Ten, the Big 12, SEC, all those conferences found a way to make deals with DirecTV.
Right.
Pac-12 never did. That's actually one of the reasons we got rid of DirecTV, is that we couldn't get the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if the guy who runs the Pac-12 is aware, but DirecTV, pretty big TV service. I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but hey, it might be important to put your channel on that on that platform. It's so dumb. It's the dumbest thing. And, you know, it sucks because my entire life I've had the Pac-10 or 12 my entire life. And it's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, it's where I've been. It's the football I watch.
Yeah.
You know, college football. But now, you know, I made fun of the Big 12 for so much, and now my team is there. It's just like, I mean, I'm obviously still going to watch Arizona State football. Like,
right.
I don't care what conference they're in. I'm watching them. But yeah. It was nice for them to have been in a really nice power conference to know that, hey, if they have a great season, we got a shot at a national championship. I just don't feel like it's there anymore. Like, I feel like the voters, the guys who do, you know, the bowl system, I think they're just going to look at the SEC and the Big Ten, cherry pick from there. And if one team for all the other conferences has an amazing year, then you get to go. It's just sucks. But yeah. Once again, that dude, I hope that dude from the Pac-12 network, whoever runs that, I hope he has to drink 12 Not Your Father's Root Beers a night for the rest of his life. Fuck that guy.
So with that being said, and also the Hall of Fame game being played last night, we're officially entering football season.
We are officially in it.
The best time of year. So, with just the Hall of Fame game going down, do you have a Super Bowl prediction?
Super Bowl prediction. All right. So, not the Jets.
Let's just throw them out of the way early.
Let's throw the Jets out of the way right now. It is amazing how the media has just made them the sweethearts.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if anyone knows this yet or not. They're the third best team in their division. Listen, say what you will about the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best quarterback in the division. Aaron Rodgers is 1,000 years old. Okay. 6 years ago, like I would obviously Aaron Rodgers would be better than Josh Allen.
Right.
You have to look at how football is played now. You give the best quarterback in the division, you automatically give them basically the best team in the division. Unless the rest of the team is dog shit, but the Bills are not. The Bills have talent all around. Mm-hmm. The Bills are the best team in that division. The Dolphins are better than the Jets. Now, Rodgers is better than Tua. But by how much, though? Like, I mean, Tua does have the concussion problem, and I feel like he's just like one bad hit from like retiring.
Yeah. But
people may not know this. When Tua was playing, he was like one of the top five rated quarterbacks in the league last year.
Oh, yeah.
When he played, he was amazing.
Yeah, as a fantasy player, like, he was great.
He was unbelievable. And just, obviously,
when he wasn't getting killed.
Yeah, when he wasn't getting killed. I did see something where, like, you could tell he is definitely beefed up over the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
He's put some weight on, hopefully get a little extra durability. Now, you can't get extra durability for your brain, so hopefully, hopefully he starts sliding a little more. But, like, the Dolphins are better than the Jets.
Yeah.
So all these people who are taking the Jets to, you know, oh, they're going to win the division, they're going to make a deep playoff run, like, they may not make the playoffs. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is real nice, but the rest of that team isn't that good.
Right. There's some players on there, but yeah.
They're not the Dolphins or the Bills. And it's actually, this is hilarious. Now the Patriots are the worst team in that division.
Isn't that amazing how that turned around?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You know, Belichick is still Belichick. He's still a defensive genius. Like, I don't think the Jets sweep them. I think the Jets are going to split with them. And the Jets are going to get swept by at least one, either the Bills or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They might get swept by both of them. But they're going to go 1-3 or 0-4 against them, and then 1-1 against the Patriots. Like, that's not a great start.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good. No, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, definitely not the Jets. You know, it's tough to go against the Chiefs, man. They are so good. Mahomes is still, you know, in his prime. He's got one of the best coaches in the league. Like, you know, we have friends who are Philly fans, and,
yes, you know,
they have an opinion about Andy Reid. And I will say Andy Reid does have some of the worst time management skills in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has one of the best offensive schemes in the league.
Yeah.
And as of right now, I can't think of, like, $100 down this table right now to bet, I can't think of another team in the AFC I would take over the Chiefs. Like, I think the Chiefs are going to make it again.
I mean, it's hard to go against them. Not only is it just a well-built team, a well-coached team, but now they have the experience. Now they have the confidence that they can make Super Bowls. I mean, Mahomes, ever since he's, you know, been the starter for a season, makes at least the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, at this point, like I guess at this point, it's like, who are you going to take over them?
Mm-hmm. Well.
So you look at, like, the AFC North. So, Steelers, like, still kind of rebuilding. They have a solid team. I'm not sold on their quarterback situation yet. And, like, it's, you know, we talked about this. It's a quarterback-driven league.
Absolutely. You have to have.
You have to have that
franchise quarterback. Yeah.
You either have to have that position figured out, or the other 21 starters have to be really good.
Yeah.
And while they have a lot of really good players around there, I don't think they have the kind of talent that can lift up a below-average quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals, I mean, Joe Burrow, has a cap issue. Who knows how long that can affect him?
Right.
I mean, you can re-injure a calf and an ankle real quick.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then the Ravens. I like Lamar Jackson. He's a good quarterback. You know, people can say what they will. You know, he's not a running back who throws occasionally. He can throw the football. I mean, he does. His legs do cause a problem matchup-wise. I just don't think the rest of the team, like, in a heads-up in the AFC Championship game, I don't like the Ravens over the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Ravens over the Bills. I don't really like the Ravens over the Dolphins. You know, I mean, the AFC South, are we really going to talk about them? I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins left the Cardinals so he could go to a winner, then went to the Titans? Like,
yeah,
fuck out of here, man.
That's not happening.
There's no one in the South I think is any good. And then we're going to go to where we talked about the East.
Right.
And now we're going to go to the West, and the Chiefs are clearly the best team in that division. Like, San Diego's nice. I like San Diego.
Yeah, they're a threat, but that's the thing. They're a threat if they were in the NFC.
Right. And what is it about the Chargers? What is it about them where they just have the injury bug? It seems like every single year.
Or they have the curse of the Schottenheimer.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
14-2.
Yeah.
For times where they have the best offense, best defense, and they don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how that team just keeps finding ways to disappoint everyone.
It's unbelievable. And they just, like I said, it always seems like at the most crucial times, really critical players get hurt.
Yeah.
Or just don't play well. I mean, they had the, you know, the collapse last year, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I just called them San Diego, even though they're Los Angeles now.
I still call them San Diego. I don't like... I hate having two teams in L.A. I just, you know, I don't like that you have it in football, you have it in basketball.
Right.
Like, I don't like that. They should... I mean, we can go through all the specifics of why they left San Diego, but San Diego was fine. Like, they had a great fan base, too. Like, it makes me sad that they went up to L.A., so, I will say this. I mean, it's hard to go against the Chiefs for all the reasons. But from my Super Bowl prediction for the AFC, I'm going to take the Bengals.
You're going to go with the Bengals.
I'm going to say the Bengals make the Super Bowl this year. I think they – I mean, Burrow is a beast. And, you know, they made the Super Bowl. Then they got close again. But
yeah, real close, huh?
Yeah. You know – I mean, there was a while where they were playing in Burrowhead Stadium. Like, I like that. And I think it's one of those they needed to lose to the Chiefs to kind of get humbled. And this year, yeah, you know, it's a calf strain. Supposedly, he's just missing a few weeks. But I feel like that team has built themselves up to be real contenders. And it's one of those, you know, the Bills, I think they had their shot. And it's already passed them by.
I've been hearing a lot of that where people think the Bills window has passed.
Yeah. And it's one of those, the you know, we have Bills fans as friends, and it's one of those, I did want to see them at least make a Super Bowl, maybe just so I can give them an 0-5 jersey. But yeah, at this point, I think that team, they're not, I don't feel like they're making the real effort to keep improving with, like, players and whatnot, so I'm AFC, I take the Bengals.
Got the Bengals. When it comes to the Bills, I think there needs to be a major change in coaching.
Yes.
For them to, like, reopen that window. I feel like with the current roster, the current everything as it is, with that coaching staff and the head coach, I think if you got someone who was maybe a little more offense-oriented, like, you know, current 2023 offense-oriented.
Yeah.
I think when you have Josh Allen, things can happen. And I think if they got someone who was a little better on the offensive side of the ball, it would reopen that window just right now where they're at. I think there are too many teams who are better than them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would beat them. So the Bengals are real good. I hate to say that. It's almost as bad as having root beer in my taste buds to say that. Because I hate Cincinnati with the passion. But, yeah, they're real good.
Yeah, I think that loss last year to miss the Super Bowl is one of those where it's just going to define them this season.
Okay, how about the NFC then?
NFC, well, I'm already telling this. I already put a big bet in that the Panthers win the NFC South.
Boy, that's like as a former coach of mine said, that's kind of like winning the Special Olympics.
That is going to be a dog shit division.
It is a dog shit division.
You know, it's funny because I said the only team they really have to concentrate on is New Orleans. You know, they got Derek Carr. They've got some players in that. I don't know how many times we're going to go over if Kamara gets suspended. They keep going back and forth with that.
I think I saw something today where he got suspended for on my phone. It was like Alvin Kamara suspended for. I didn't see the game number. I didn't check on it. So I think it maybe just came down just like recently.
Yeah.
And he got some sort of.
I remember hearing about six games, but at the same time, that could always change. But I remember looking at the betting odds, and the Falcons and the Saints were like kind of head to head on that, which I don't agree. I think the Falcons are going to be one of the worst teams this year.
So hard to believe in them.
Yeah.
It just.
They've got a couple players. Like, yeah, Bijan is going to be a big-time player.
He'd be real good.
Kyle Pitts is okay, but the problem is if you don't have a franchise quarterback right now.
Yeah. I tell you what, I feel bad for Pitts, man.
Yeah.
Because that dude is an outrageous talent.
Yeah.
And he's just right now, it's just being wasted.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, in a year or two, he's going to be on a new team.
You would hope so. Yeah. You don't want him to get Calvin Johnson'd.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sucks. He's so good. He was so good at Florida. Yeah. And, you know, I watched, like, part of a couple Falcons games because it was on TV. And, like, you watch him and you're like, yeah, that dude is good. You could see he is good. You could just see either the scheme doesn't work for him or something just doesn't click yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if something does click and they're able to use him along with the other weapons in there, they could be real good offensively. I just don't believe in them. Maybe it's just because I've just seen them fail over and over and over again. I just don't believe in them. I mean, it's so hard to pick a winner in that division because they're all they're all not very good.
No, the first one, 9 wins, gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll tell you this. My Super Bowl contender does not come from the NFC South.
I love the Panthers to death. I have them winning that division, but they'll be out pretty early in the playoffs.
Okay.
But I'm very excited with where they're going, so I'm happy. And they actually, like, if that team can sync up together, they've got a 2 or 3 year window with some of those players. But then, after that, they'll be kind of screwed.
So definitely not coming from the South. So
it's not coming from the South.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the NFC East, I mean, the Eagles, obviously. Real good team.
Right.
Good coaching. I mean, they got a good quarterback, Jalen Hurt. Jalen, man, he can play. And he's getting paid.
Yeah. He's getting paid. Like, that's the thing is, I think a lot of people are looking at, you know, they always look at Dallas.
I don't see. Look, Dak Prescott is. It's one of those things, like, you have Dak Prescott, he's almost like a curse to have.
Yeah.
Because he's just good enough. That you can't really get rid of him because, like, I always say, if you're going to get rid of your quarterback, who are you going to replace them with
mm-hmm.
who is at least as good or better than him? And it's tough to get rid of Prescott because once you get rid of him, your options for replacements aren't as good as him because you can't get the guys who are better than him because they're all, you know, They're all locked up. You know, like, he, it's almost like he's like the, well, not 8-8 anymore, because more, he's like the, he's like the 8-9 quarterback, 9-8 quarterback. We're like, oh, we went 9-8, we missed the playoffs, and now we have a shitty draft pick. Like, he's that quarterback.
Yes.
You know? So I don't believe in the Eagles. I'm sorry, I don't believe in the Cowboys.
I don't believe in them.
I don't believe in the Giants.
Yeah, I was about to say, the Giants are shit. The Commanders. The
Commanders. I don't believe in them.
I'm still calling them the Redskins. Like, I don't believe in them. Now, a lot of people would talk about, you know, whoever loses the Super Bowl, how they kind of slump the next season. Yeah. I don't think the Eagles will have, like, the best record in the league, but I think they still easily win that division.
I think they will... they're going to be very happy that they're in the NFC East, because I don't think any of those teams are good enough to compete with them.
Yes.
On a week-in, week-out basis. Like, I think they'll easily sweep at least two of the teams in that division. And they'll probably, they're, something about the Cowboys, they always seem to split with them.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they'll probably split with the Cowboys. They'll sweep the Giants and the Commanders.
Yeah.
And they'll walk away with that. They may, because they're going to be able to get so many wins, they might walk out with like a 2 seed, maybe even a 1, 2, or 3 seed.
Yeah, I would give them 2 or 3. I don't think they'll be the top seed, but they'll definitely be in contention for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Eagles are the best team there. I mean, NFC North, I mean, the Packers, I mean, you can't believe in them anymore. I mean, Jordan, nope. I mean, I, you know, it's funny, people talk shit about the NFC South. I don't really think the NFC North is all that good.
I mean, yeah, the Packers are no longer contenders. Yeah. That they might finish last in,
I mean,
that.
Legit, the best team, I think, is the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, and they have, you could say, either arguably the best receiver, or he's absolutely top three receiver in the league. Him, Jamar Chase, it's probably top two. It's him and Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
So they got a great weapon on the outside. The team itself is pretty well built. I know I've heard insiders say that their defense isn't as good as advertised anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're going to kind of be in the same spot as the Eagles are. They're going to benefit from having a shitty division. Like the Bears, I don't believe in Justin Fields.
No. Now, you know, he can be a playmaker, but that team is not – it's, you know, they show little signs of improving, but – I think it's one of those, they'll be in the middle of the pack, but they're definitely not going to win. I think that might be the one that just laps everyone, is how good Minnesota will do.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing that you're going to have with the Eagles, that they're just going to benefit from not having good teams in the division.
Yeah.
Because the Bears, I don't believe in Justin Fields week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the rest of their team. I mean, the Lions, you know, it's funny, the Lions may be the second best team in that division.
Right. I think the Lions will finish second. And that, I mean, they have a decent team. They have players, but it's one of those, it's the Lions.
It's the Lions. And, you know, we've just been conditioned to just realize that they're,
I think they can get a playoff spot.
Boy, that's going to,
it'll be, but it's, I mean, they're grabbing the 6th or 7th seed.
Oh, yeah. They're sneaking in if they get in. You know, I saw a great stat about the Lions that, see what it was. So they had one playoff win since 1956. And the best stat was that, I don't remember the exact number of teams. I want to say it was like 112, maybe 100, whatever the number is. If you took the NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB, you took all those teams, maybe the number is like, maybe it was 132. I don't know how many teams total there are,
mm-hmm.
but take all of the teams. Since 1996, every single team in every single league has either had like a playoff win, football, or a playoff series win in Major League, NHL, and NBA, with the exception of the Lions. Lions are the only one since 1996 who don't have one of those.
And this is why you can never bet your money on them.
Yeah, so Minnesota, I think, is going to win that division. And then we get to the NFC West, where my team, I think, is going to make the Super Bowl comes from.
Oh.
I think it comes from the NFC West. And remember how I said earlier that if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you need to have 21 players at the other starting positions who are really good?
Yes.
That's where I'm at with San Francisco.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, you know what? Say what you will about him. Whatever. I think he's going to be the starter is what it sounds like.
Right. I mean, it's kind of one of those, it's between him and Lance, but... Yeah. You know, that was the thing, is even with Brock, like, that whole team is just solid enough that they, you know, even when they got to the NFC Championship, it's like you're, if it wasn't, you know, the Eagles just kind of ran them over because you have a quarterback that can't throw. Like, and I was sitting there like, throw McCaffrey in there. He can toss a ball. Do something. You can't have it where you're just running. It was like they gave up. But
yeah,
if they have a quarterback, I mean, that's a contender right there. I think
the best thing that ever happened to the league was, for some reason, when Tom Brady was a free agent and he wanted to have control or some control over personnel, the Niners didn't give it to him. Because if Tom Brady would have been on those San Francisco teams with all that talent, they would have crushed everyone in the NFC.
Can you imagine, you know, you've got Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, people like that with Brady at the helm?
Oh, they would have killed everyone.
What a scary team.
Yeah, that would have been unbelievable. As is, though, I still think out of that division, I think San Francisco is going to come out of it, and I think that even with the deficiency at the quarterback position, I think they have enough talent all around, and I like their coaching staff. I think they make it out this year. So I think it's going to be a KC-San Francisco Super Bowl.
KC-San Francisco. Oh, good. Another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's going to be. I mean, Seattle. Seattle's nice.
Seattle's nice. They're not doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, the Cardinals are clearly...
I'm going to give the Cardinals the number one draft pick next year.
You think they're the worst team
in the league? I think they will be the worst team in the league. Because they're not... They're not really doing anything to build. I don't know how long until Kyler will come back, but even so, people aren't scared of him. Like, they know he's an absolute bust.
Yeah, so between, you know, I mean, the Rams just, I mean, here's, they have Stafford still.
Right. The Rams are a contender.
Rams are a contender. I just think, you know, I rarely don't like to take the team who has the inferior quarterback. But in this case, I think San Francisco has so much more talent around.
Right.
That I think they find a way to just basically out-talent everyone in that division.
So I'm going to say, so I'm throwing out that, San Francisco will win that division. L.A. will, the Rams will be right there.
I think the Rams are going to.
Yeah. Seattle won't do shit. And I've got Arizona maybe winning three games. Yeah,
I'd love to pull up their schedule now just to see, because I pull up the schedule.
What? I will pull it up because that is going to be my call for who gets the number one seed. Because I was going to say it's them or the Falcons, but I think the Cardinals are going to pull it off.
I mean, there's just nothing I like about the Cardinals right now.
No,
there's nothing I like about the Cardinals winning football games this year.
Yes. Okay, so we'll go over them real quick. So. Okay. First game, they're on the road at Washington.
Ooh, loss.
Yep. At home against the Giants.
Ooh. See, I don't think the Giants are very good.
The Giants aren't good, but at the same time, there's no Kyler.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, loss. Yeah,
the last I heard was he's coming back midseason. But if they're doing bad, I think you shut him down.
I mean, So let's say exactly midseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, I mean, that 17 weeks is no exactly midseason. But let's say he comes back for week 9, right?
Yeah.
Say he comes back week 9, you're 2-7. Do you play him?
No, absolutely not. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, let's say Commanders beat him.
Okay.
Let's say Giants are just dog shit. Cardinals pick up a win. They're 1-1.
1-1. Okay.
Now they're not going to win a lot after that. Okay. So. The next week, at home against Cowboys.
Loss.
Yes. Week after that, at 49ers.
Loss.
Week after that, at LA Rams.
Loss.
Home against the Bengals.
Loss. Especially if Burrow's playing.
Right. This will be the toss-up here. They are at Seattle.
I think they split with Seattle home and home. So if they're at Seattle this game, I'm going to say they lose, but I say they beat Seattle at home.
Okay.
So when that comes down the road,
we'll get to it. Home against Ravens.
Loss.
At Cleveland.
I hate to say this, but Cleveland is better than most people think. I think they lose that game.
Yeah. Home against Falcons.
Win.
Yeah, that would be one of the other wins I'll give them. At Houston.
Ooh. Houston's not very good either.
Houston's not very good, but it's the Cardinals, so.
Yeah.
I give Texans a win on that.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with the home advantage, home field on that one, so I'll go loss.
All right. At home versus Rams.
Loss.
At Steelers.
Loss.
Home against 49ers.
Loss.
At Chicago.
Ooh. See, I don't believe in Chicago. So what week is this?
This is week 15.
You know what? So if they play, if they play Kyler, he's back now.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I believe so little in Justin Fields. I think Murray's better than him. I just don't believe in Fields at all. You know, I'm gonna give him a win on this. I say they beat Chicago on the road.
See, I would say loss just because I think at this point if they're like 2-11 ish or so, they're not playing Kyler. Maybe they have him play a little bit, but
the only thing I can think of is they want him to play, get a little more experience, get especially experience in the system, the new system.
Yeah.
So whatever. That's still
all right.
Coin flipper.
And then at Eagles,
loss.
And then their last game of the season, home against Seattle.
So give them the win on that. So I think I gave them 4 wins.
You gave them 4 wins. I'm giving them 3 wins.
It's not great.
No, that's why they're going to have the worst one. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say. So
I have Niners. I have Niners and Chiefs.
I almost want to say that you're going to get a Bengals Chiefs AFC Championship game again.
I mean, that seems pretty reasonable.
It's reasonable, but I'm going to say the Bengals will pull that out. I'm going to say you're going to have a Niners-Vikings NFC Championship. And I'm actually going to give it to the Vikings.
Give it to the Vikings, okay.
I think the Niners should be in the Super Bowl. But I feel like there's always something the Niners do. Like, last year was the decision they made on how to play with a quarterback that couldn't throw. And just them running it after that was just, it looked like they just quit. Like, you come up with something to give yourself a chance. Yeah. And I feel like the coaching staff, it's what's going to bring them down. I feel like Cousins and the Vikings are a good team. They've been close.
They have.
A few times. I feel like this is the year where I feel like they may not necessarily win against the Niners. It's going to be the Niners fucking up and letting the Vikings go to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say it's going to be a Bengals-Vikings Super Bowl. And Bengals are going to rout them.
I feel like...
And you're going to hate it.
And I feel like this is... I feel like the AFC is... Whichever team comes from the AFC, I think is going to win the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Yeah, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's, you know, the Bengals. I feel like even if the Bills made it...
Yeah.
I think...
Whoever makes it is winning.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't think the Eagles will make the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like if they did, they'd have the best chance.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things. Like, I don't think they're going to make it through, but if they did, I thought they'd have a way better chance of beating someone from the AFC. I just feel... I think the Chiefs win this year, and it's just...
They're just building the Mahomes dynasty.
They are. I mean, that team is just... It's so good right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just tough to go against. And Andy Reid has what he needs, like what he wants in an offense. I think, once again, I've heard reports of the defense maybe not going to be as good as it, you know, as it has been in previous years. I just think as Mahomes keeps developing and the targets he has, I mean, Travis Kelce, all those guys that he has there, I just think, you know, funny you say, I think they're just going to outscore people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you have to outscore people to win, but I just feel like I don't think anyone's going to be able to keep pace with them offensively.
Yes.
You know, so... Yeah. All right. So you got Bengals winning the Super Bowl. I got Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah, you're taking Chiefs over Niners,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna take the Bengals over the Vikings.
Yeah. The Niners with a quarterback would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like if you put Kirk Cousins on the Niners, holy shit, would they be good?
Oh my god.
They'd be unbelievable. They would rout the NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that brings us to my next topic, since we're talking about football, but we'll cover all sports. And that's one of the things I was talking about is your fan bases.
Oh, that's a good thing to talk about the Philly fan base.
Oh, boy.
Once again, we have really good friends who are Philly fans.
Yes.
You know, one of my favorite videos of all time I have no idea when this video came out. So in Philadelphia, at one point, there was a news report where it was like an apartment building caught fire. And there was like reports that they were like chucking, like people were like, people were jumping out of windows because they couldn't get out. And there was reports that they were actually like chucking like kids and babies out the window. And people, you know, like out of the lower stories, they weren't chucking them from like 13 floors up or anything. But, you know, like they were getting chucked out of like, you know, second floor windows, and people were catching kids. And they're talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, man, you know, they were just chucking babies and we were catching them. You know, unlike Aguilar, you know, I just want to throw that out there with his recent problems. And this dude, in the middle of what is a horrific news story about people throwing babies out of windows, this dude's like, hold on, let me just throw a receiver under the bus real quick.
Under the bus, because I'm still upset about what happened.
It's one of my favorite videos of all time, especially because he's like, you know, talking about Aguilar, you know, with his recent problems, and he shoots this look to the camera like, bro, come on, do better. And I'm like, wait a minute, y'all were catching babies out of windows and we're talking about a dude playing a game?
Yeah.
It's,
we didn't even talk about practice.
We didn't even talk about practice, man. So I guess we'll start with football then. Worst fan base for football? Oh, that's a toughie.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, I feel like we're a little bit biased because we live in Arizona. And we have so many Cowboys fans here. And Cowboys fans, just on the norm, already kind of piss poor to begin with.
Yes. So,
and I'm going to admit my bias. I'm going to say Cowboys fans are the worst.
So, Cowboys fans is good because, yeah, you get the every year, we've got this many Super Bowl kind of thing. Because, you know, a lot of people would always hate on the Patriot fans. But it's like, at the same time, you guys keep winning. Like, it's hard to hate them now.
At least they had a reason to be the way they were, because they were winning football games.
Yeah.
I feel like Patriots fans and Cowboy fans have the same, like, they have the same outlook on their team, but the Cowboys don't win. They haven't.
In the 90s, and obviously before that too, but the 90s, that was the Cowboy era. Yeah. Patriots era was, you know, 2000s.
It's like 2018.
Right. It went for a while. So, yeah, that kind of the same mentality. I just want to be a dick and throw in Steeler fans. Just for fun, because I know so many Steeler fans. But I don't really have any backup on it. I just wanted to piss. Actually, so
I will say there are some pretty obnoxious Steeler fans.
The one thing, too, is that normally I would hate on L.A., but I don't think the Rams and Chargers, I don't really have a problem with their fan base at all.
I agree with you. I just don't like the fact they have two teams in that city.
Yeah, I still don't like that. Yeah. So it's one of those, a Cowboys fans, kind of hard to hate on them. Here's the thing. So for worst fan base in football, in my opinion, I'd like to think I'm going a little bit of a curveball here. I think it's Cardinal fans.
Oh, okay. Well, and to go with this, there is some bias because we are surrounded by them.
We are surrounded by them. Now, part of me wants to take it because, you know, the Cardinals and Panthers have met a few times in the playoffs. And, like, you know, the grief I get from people and the absolute, like, shit talk. I mean, everyone should shit talk.
Right.
For their teams. But the way Cardinals fans go about it is, like, ridiculous. Here's the other thing, and I'll give an example. Like, for me, this is the main reason why. So, 2019, Steelers were in town, and my brother and his son, my nephew, came out, flew out, because they live in Baltimore, flew out here, visit for a couple days, but then my brother, my nephew, me, and my dad, we all went to the Steeler-Cardinal game. We're in Arizona. It's not like this is an L.A. team or a team right near us. This is Pittsburgh. Place was sold out. Maybe 10% Cardinal fans.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's what I don't like, is they're so fair weather fans, where, you know, we don't, and now Cardinal fans have just been dealing with a losing football team for decades.
For a long time.
Every now and then, you know, 2009 made the Super Bowl run. 2015, they made the NFC Championship. Like, they've had a couple years, but I mean, if they're having a bad year, everyone jumps on another team. And I get to, that's the thing too. If you're true fans, you show up to every game. That game proved that not only were there a lot of Fairweather fans, but a lot of people sold their tickets for a nice profit to get Steeler fans, you know, to the game. And I just feel like, and I understand that, but at the same time, you're not a true fan if you're constantly giving up your tickets, because you're only getting to see, you know, 8-ish games there. Like, you need to go to those games. But when you sell them, the, you know, let other people go see their team, I don't like that. So that's, I'm going to say Cardinals fans are the worst for football.
Okay. I would give a second place to Seattle fans.
Mm.
Seahawks fans annoy me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is the fair weather thing, because before, like, Pete Carroll took over there, you never saw Seahawks jerseys anywhere.
Ever. The Super Bowl where they were against the Patriots, I was in Vegas, and I mean, like, brand new Seahawks jerseys everywhere.
Yeah, no creases.
Yeah, and it was one of those, like, it was a little bit ridiculous, where first time in my life I've ever cheered for the Patriots. And the interception in the end zone was one of the greatest moments for me. Just because it's like, fuck all you fans where, you know, there were a couple of them that I ran into. They're like, oh, Seattle's going to take it. I'm like, how long have you been a fan? Oh, forever. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, tell me about Sean Alexander. Couldn't do it. And it's like, listen, the only true Seahawk fan is the kid from Free Willy. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's all I'm giving it to him. So,
okay.
All right, so we'll switch over to, let's go to hockey. I don't really have a, I'm not really a hockey person.
Yeah.
But you are, so you might have a little bit.
You know, worst fan base? You know, funny thing is, like, hockey, no one really annoys me. But because, so, I'm a Coyotes fan. Just because they're here.
Right, but same here.
But before that, I was a Colorado Avalanche fan. And I still like the Avalanche. They're still, the Avalanche are my second team.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, obviously before the Coyotes got here. So, for me, and it's funny because one of my really good friends, Kevin, you know, is a diehard Red Wings fan.
Uh-huh.
And just, I think a lot of the encounters I have with Red Wings fans just kind of, once again, kind of, you know, kind of move me in that direction. I might just have to go with them just because they used to annoy the shit out of me. And I think what irritates me about fan bases is when they feel like they're entitled to things.
Yes.
And it just felt like Red Wings fans just felt like they're entitled to go to the Stanley Cup every year. And if they didn't go to the Stanley Cup, it was because they were wronged in some way. Not because their team got beat.
Yeah.
But because a third party or an external force, you know, conspired against them so they didn't make it. So for me, I'm gonna go Red Wings fans.
All right. I don't watch a lot of the ice soccer.
Unbelievable.
But
so much better in soccer.
The ones that annoy me are Tampa Bay Lightning fans. I mean, they've had a good team for a while now, and I just feel like it's the people that are like, oh, we own hockey. I'm like, you don't own shit. I think it doesn't help, too, that, like, a bunch of them were backing Hulk Hogan, the highest-paid porn actor of all time.
Right.
Because he lives in Tampa, so he was, like, kind of becoming their, you know, spokesperson. And he was spouting off their names, and half of them he was mispronouncing. And I felt like that just kind of summed it up. I don't really have a big opinion on hockey, but, I mean, it, like, the ones that have annoyed me have been Tampa Bay fans.
Okay.
It could help, too, that Tampa Bay is in the Panthers division. Yeah. That might help a little bit.
A little bias there. Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's go to baseball.
That's easy. Dodgers fans. God damn, I hate Dodgers fans so much. It's funny. So, same thing. I'm not really a big baseball fan. I don't watch a lot of it. But it's the same thing. Just Dodgers fans fucking piss me off. They just, and you know, it feels like they rub it in the noses of teams that they should beat all the time.
Yeah.
Like, those years when the Dodgers were really good and the Diamondbacks weren't very good, it just seemed like every time they beat us, it was just like just rubbing our nose in it.
Right.
And this is probably just a straight, once again, I'm a Diamondback fan.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was a Giants fan. So I think I have just had a long-standing hatred for Dodgers fans.
Which makes sense. Yeah. Like, I remember, you know, I was very happy for Boston fans when they finally won the series in 04. And then, you know, 07 they won again, and it's like, wow, like, you know, hadn't won 118 years or whatever it was, and then come out and win that, win another one. But then I think 2013 they won again. And that year everyone was like, we really need to win one, close it out at home. We haven't been able to. And they're throwing out like, you know, it's been 95 years since we won at home. I'm like, okay. Ugh. And it's like, you know what? Patriots have been winning so much, like, enough. So they're contenders. Cubs fans annoy the shit out of me. Where it's like, I was very happy for them that they won their World Series. Like, Cubs and Indians was, I think, one of the greatest World Series, just because a slump had to come to an end.
Right.
So I was happy with whoever won. I really like Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. I think those guys are tremendous. So I was very happy to see that. And it's like, after that, Cubs fans are like, all right, we're good. So, but yeah. Now, I go to quite a bit of Diamondback games in my time. And yeah, Dodger games are the most, like, are the ones I don't look forward to. Because, yeah, there's so many Dodger fans that show up. They are incessant. Like, I've been to other games where Red Sox, Yankees in town, all that type of deal. And you get all the fans and whatnot. But Dodger fans just, like, are just want to, like, turn around and tell you how fucking great they are. They seem to be. Their fan base seems to be the one that has to throw in the, well, we won the World Series. We?
Oh, yes.
I hate when people say we. Like, I'm a Panther fan. You don't ever see me saying, oh, well, we need a franchise quarterback. No, they need a franchise quarterback. I am not under contract with the Panthers.
In any which way or so.
I have not provided shit to them. So, yeah, when people say, oh, we won the World Series, like, can't stand it. Don't. Anyone that does that instantly annoys me, and I hope they trip and fall. And yes, it is. And some people be like, Yankee fans, it's like, no, they've always been that way.
Right.
So, yeah. I do like that everyone can come together and hate the Astros together.
I mean,
but it's not their fan base.
Right. It's the organization.
Right. So, yeah, Dodgers for sure. So, okay. Now we'll move to the NBA.
Ooh. You know, I don't really hate Laker fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had such success, they kind of, I don't know, they don't bother me as much. I, you know what's funny? As good as the Spurs have been, I don't think I've ever met any diehard Spurs fans.
I really haven't. I was thinking about that because if you're a Suns fan, you have hatred for the Spurs, but you have the hatred because the Spurs kept beating them.
Right.
But, yeah, I couldn't tell you one person that's like, man, I've been loving the Spurs forever. Since, like, George Gervin days kind of thing.
Right. For me, this one is going to be I hate Knicks fans.
Ooh.
Because I feel like Knicks fans, like, once again, we're going to get down to, like, where they just believe they should be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks fans, they drive me insane because they have some of the worst ownership. Well, I don't know if I'd say they have the worst ownership of the NBA, but it's definitely, like, top five.
Right.
And it just, like, it feels like every time a big-name free agent is popping up, like, oh, well, he definitely deserves to be in, you know, New York. New York basketball is iconic, this and that. The Knicks haven't been good in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the, even, like, in the 90s when they were good, when they had Ewing and all those guys.
And that bitch Starks.
And him. You know, they never got it done. And I feel like the Knicks fans have that same idea where they just feel like they're wronged every time the Knicks don't, you know, play well, don't win a game, or don't win something. I feel like they always have some excuse other than my team just sucks.
Right.
And it's something about, like, when there's a person, and I think maybe Spike Lee maybe kind of pulls into this too, just like he just kind of annoys me. And, he, you know, he's obviously one of the biggest Knicks fans of all time.
Yes.
Knicks fans just irritate me. Just, like, at some point, understand that your team is not good, your organization is not good, your ownership sucks, and you're just going to suck for as long as they have that there in place.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks fans piss me off. I don't know. That's the best I can come up with, really. So they just there's something innate about them just pisses me off.
Yeah. This one's a tough one. I mean, I grew up huge on basketball. Basketball was my thing growing up. So there's some, I agree, Knick fans just, you know, they're like, we're a big market. Like, them in L.A. just believe they're supposed to be good.
Right.
I mean, you're a big city market. You should, like, the league wants you to be good.
Right.
So I can't really hate on L.A. because their fans, you know, that's one where it's like, they haven't really done anything to really, like, throw themselves in the contender for that. Knick fans, they do get annoying. However, Spike Lee talking shit to Reggie was one of the greatest moments ever because Reggie just shut him the fuck up.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's, I kind of have to, they're close.
Okay.
And I kind of have to rule them out. Now, I kind of think with some others, like, who else? Like, Cleveland fans? they've lost for a while. Like,
right.
You know, can you really be mad at them? Dallas fans? I don't really think I know a real Maverick fan. And I like Mark Cuban.
Right.
Like, so, stuff on the fan base. And I don't know. I feel like I should come up with one. I mean, I'm really tempted to just take New York. But I start thinking around, like, Chicago. No, like, they're kind of in the moment of when, like, you know, they, when Jordan and all the team broke up, they're kind of like, yeah, we're going to suck for a long time.
They were going to suck for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they had, you know, Rose came in, and there was that moment where it's like, whatever. But, so, the fan base I'm going to give it to that I do not like, because I feel like they're a bunch of front runners, is Warrior fans. Because all that. Warrior fans are pretty much just Laker and Clipper fans that gave up on their team. And like, oh no, I mean, you know, I've even heard them like, oh, you got to love all your state teams. And it's like, you guys have way too many fucking teams.
Yeah.
Because you've got the Lakers and the Clippers. And you go up and you've got Golden State. And then you've got the Kings, who I don't even know how they're still a team.
You know, they had a pretty good team last year.
They did, actually. Yeah. Like, it was the first time they won that division in God knows how long. But, yeah, it was exciting to see a team like that. And then, of course, yeah, they got run out of there. And here's the thing, too. I love the team, the actual Warriors. Like,
they're so much fun to watch.
Yes, they're so much fun, and it's an exciting team. Steph Curry is the reason I watch. Like, I hate how they compare, you know, is LeBron better than Michael kind of thing. I'm like, LeBron's not even the best of his era. Like, it's tough because okay. LeBron, one-on-one, maybe, but it's like Steph Curry is just, you know, a points machine and just makes that team better. And gets people on his team better. Like, I feel like Draymond Green wouldn't be that good of a player on other teams. But I feel like playing with Curry gives him that edge. But you've got all the fan base is just so much fans of them. I'm like, you guys couldn't even tell me, you know, about the old Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin combo. I mean, do we even go to Baron Davis? Like, do they even remember him?
He was such a good player back
then. And they had a good run one of the seasons. Because I think they were the 8th seed that took out the Mavericks when the Mavericks were the 1 seed.
I think you're right. I think you're right on that.
Yeah, because you know what? Because that was the year that Nash should have been 3 straight MVPs, but they gave it to Dirk, and then they went out in the first round.
Right.
And it was like, bad call on that one. But yeah, I think it's just one of those, the Warrior fans, a majority of them are just fans of Lakers and Clippers that just switched over because their teams were so bad forever.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll give it to the Warrior fans.
Okay. I can see that. There is a certain annoyance. Like, when a team, especially like a smaller market team, becomes good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just start seeing quote-unquote fans just coming out of the woodwork. So I get that for sure. I would say, like, they're probably the most insufferable fans right now.
Yeah.
Because they had a couple years with Steph Curry that weren't real good due to injuries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And Steph had a lot of injuries early on with his ankles. Like,
exactly.
That was even in college, he had ankle issues. So it was one of those where I'm like, man, if he stays healthy, he's an absolute threat. Because I like watching him. He went to Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being like, dude, this kid is phenomenal when he's healthy. And then, yeah, as soon as he was actually, like, healthy and not injury prone, all of a sudden that team skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Where they went against, you know, LeBron, and you're like, well, you know, they had a good run, but LeBron's teams have been proven, and then they just wiped the floor with them.
Uh-huh. I think the major overall point here to take is just fuck Cowboy fans. I mean,
I was going to say, fuck California fans for me, especially the ones that have to, I'm from California. I know. Which, yeah. If you live in Arizona, that's the worst thing to hear from anybody.
That's the most annoying sound in the world. Is, hey, I just moved here from California.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Cool. How's that cigar?
That cigar was nice for being in a humidor that long. It was zero complaints. That was mighty tasty.
Cool, man.
And pumpkin porter, which is made by Four Peaks, which is a great, great company. It is indeed a tasty beverage.
It is a tasty beverage. I'm glad they're here.
Yes. Cheers, sir.
Cheers.